Chris Schultz, good morning.
Kia ora, Catherine, how are you?
I'm great. I know the Jinx was an addiction for many people. I remember that scene in the toilet when he apparently left his mic on. I'm still suspicious about that. The question is, how do you make a series two on a subject like this?
Well, in a lot of cases, you try and you fail. You know, the Jinx, you could argue, I think, kicked off this true crime obsession we have now. You know, it's on... Every week there's a new TV show or movie hitting our streaming services based around a cold case, missing person or a murder that they're trying to get you hooked into. And they're all trying to hit the same way that the Jinx did back in 2015, this bizarre case of a mogul who had sort of gotten away allegedly with these three murders over decades that ended, yes, with that climax that killed them all, of course, confession. In a bathroom that kicked off a manhunt and then his arrest and all of that stuff. You could argue making a murderer Tiger King doesn't exist without the Jinx, and both of those shows tried to do second seasons and failed miserably, so badly that they almost diminished the original product. And so, yeah, 9 years on, we've got the second season of the Jinx. The tough thing is, you know, the story's been told, right? We saw it all, we got addicted to it, and then we moved on. The Jinx is a little bit different in that there was no court case or arrest during that first season. So that's what the second season is about. It's sort of following on what happened after the show aired and with Robert Durst's arrest. It literally starts with family and friends gathered watching that final episode, watching that hot mic confession and capturing their gasp and their shock and their horror. I think this mostly works because they dive into this case with more detail. Andrew Jarecki, the director, has been following this case for nearly 20 years. He knows it inside out, and he's won over all of the people around Robert Durst and all of the victims' families, and he gets them to talk, and there's some pretty fascinating details. There are more cliffhangers. He knows how to spin a yarn. I particularly love some of the characters. The second episode is dedicated to this erotic country singer who was the best friend of Robert Durst, who didn't feature in the first season, but he's so... eclectic and strange that you kind of can't help but get caught up in the story all over again. I guess my one kind of criticism is I found myself laughing at this a lot. You know, it is very funny. Robert Durst is quite a charismatic, strange character, even from the way he signs off his phone calls in prison with this kind of barb kind of accent. He's a strange guy, and the people around him are quirky and are like really good TV talent. But then also you kind of always have in the back of your mind, you know, three people died here.
Yes.
This is serious.
Yeah.
And are we making too much light of that?
Well, there's another thing that's happening. We'll come back to it another time. You think you're watching a documentary. Step away from this. You think you're watching a documentary, and then you actually realise that this is effectively a reality TV show. This one I started watching called Is Such and Such a Cult? And I kind of got engrossed for a wee while, and I thought, hang on, how are these people arriving like this? How are the cameras here? Mm. And it's a morphing of genre that I don't like. Anyway, another time for that. Hollywood Con Queen, which kind of says what it does on the tin, I presume, or the way around, is on Apple TV Plus. What do we have?
That's a fascinating story. This is a scam story. There are no bodies. If the Jinx is too grisly for you, maybe try this one instead. It's interesting that it scams people who you don't expect to be scammed. It's kind of getting at the heart of the Hollywood industry. Wannabe photographers, wannabe actors, makeup artists were all sent on these strange missions around the world on what they thought were big jobs for, you know, their big break. They were being called by who they thought were big name Hollywood producers like Amy Pascal, but it was someone impersonating them. And, you know, hundreds of people were caught up in the scam. It didn't really seem to have a reason for it being, because, you know, they were encouraged to pay for their own flights, their own hotels, with the promise of reimbursement and a big paycheck at the end. So this was all captured in a podcast a few years back, which I knew about. And so I sort of watched this documentary thinking it'll just rehash the same things, and the first episode absolutely does. But episode 2 and 3 incredible TV. It's basically the second episode is a manhunt trying to find the person or people responsible for the scam, and then the third episode gets them to talk and it explains exactly why someone would go to these incredibly insane lengths to make people do his bidding, to kind of be a puppeteer behind the scenes to make them do these things. And it's so twisted. It reminded me a lot of David Farrier's Mr. Organ, where a journalist sort of sides with a subject to try and really get to know them. And at the heart of that is a really quite troubled person. Fascinating documentary. Really, really enjoyed it once you get past that first episode.
Okay, now I've read some fairly, I won't call them average reviews, but reviews that found Back to Black a little average in theatres. Amy Winehouse, she's just one of those characters. Will we ever stop making films about her? Who's made this one?
We might stop making them after this. This follows a documentary. If you've seen Amy, the documentary from 2016, you probably feel like you know the story quite well. It was the definitive story of her life and her troubled final months. You could argue that we didn't really need a fictionalized version of it. We definitely didn't need one that was sanitized like this. None of it is Marisa Abella's fault. She is the young actress tasked with playing Amy Winehouse. Can you imagine being 27 years old, the age Amy Winehouse died, and being asked to play one of the most original, charismatic soul singers of our generation? The pressure on her shoulders must have been immense, and she nails it. She is the only reason to see this movie. Unfortunately, they haven't given her a decent story to sort of wrap around it. It focuses on the wrong things, her relationships, mostly with Blake Field of Civil, her husband, on again, off again husband at the end. But none of the stuff addressed in the documentary, like her dad pushing it to her more and refusing to like get her the help she needed, is really addressed.
Boyfriend was kind of a key part of the first documentary too, was he not?
Well, he introduced her to drugs. Yeah, Blake Field of Civil, he introduced her to drugs, and that sort of touched on in this, but by the end you're left with the impression that he's a lovable rogue and her dad's like sort of beside her the whole time, and it leaves this really unfulfilling portrait of the film. I don't think this has been a hit. The reviews have definitely been mixed, and we went to this on Sunday night in St. Luke's, and we were the only people in the cinema. So,
eek.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Thanks very much. Chris Schultz has reviewed The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst, which is on Neon. It's series 2. Hollywood Con Queen is on Apple TV Plus. I don't know if Chris told us, but it was from the team that brought us Tiger King, if you remember that rather compelling series. And Back to Black, which is in theatres, the latest iteration of a biopic of Amy Winehouse's life. Just listening to him, he wasn't particularly taken with that. Other reviewers haven't been either. However, there you go. There's your selection for you today.